welcome to the holiday edition of Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The following shows were part of our annual Christmas party in December. We broadcast a live show to our compatriots in Kentucky, and they broadcast one back to us in Seattle. Changapana was the real-life inspiration for Charlie Chan, that Oriental detective written by Earl Deer Biggers. ART has recorded 3 episodes about the 5'3" Chinese detective. Here's episode 2. Wherein we learn that even heroes can make mistakes, and Hawaiian gangsters can have a soft spot.
American Radio Theater presents another episode of that real-life Charlie Chan, Changapana of the Honolulu Police Department. We left him marching 40 people to the police station in Chinatown, the biggest arrest by a single officer. Today we look in as Lieutenant Henry Chillingsworth runs into that intrepid reporter for the Star Bulletin, Emily Ho.
Henry Chillingsworth.
Oh.
A little early for shave ice, yeah?
Well, Emily Ho. Oh, it's never too early for a shave ice.
So what flavor you got?
Nothing better than Lilikoi.
No. Got ice cream on bottom?
Is there any other way?
Uh-huh. One snow cap.
How's that again?
Oh, cream drizzled on top, making it look like Mauna Kea.
Oh, next time for sure. Emily, what's your favorite flavor? I'll buy you one.
Oh, lychee. Little bit of heaven.
Well, here you go.
Mahalo. So what you doing down here in Waikiki?
Oh, trying to stay out of the heat at the police station. Oh, here, you need a napkin.
Think I'd be messy. Mahalo. Too much Kona winds for Hollies.
No, that's not it. Big Eddie and his gang are really upset with me.
Ha! Big Eddie always upset about something.
Oh, not like this.
Why are you worried?
Emily, if you worked for something other than the newspaper, I'd be willing to tell you.
Well, I don't print everything I hear.
Oh, no. Just anything having to do with Chang.
Well, is that a problem?
Everyone thinks we're joined at the hip. He's always wandering around and getting me into trouble. Huh. I spend most of my free time trying to smooth the waves he leaves in his wake as he twinkle-toes along.
Well, so where's Chinatown's hero today?
I sent him down to the docks. I'm hoping that keeps him out of trouble and out of Big Eddie's hair and gives me some time to myself.
Do you think that's wise?
Oh, foolhardy. Chang's just like a little kid. You can't leave him alone for a minute. You turn around and bam, another screw-up.
Have you heard anything about the big guy yet?
Big Eddie? Down here, Emily.
No, silly Santa Claus.
Oh, Emily Ho. You telling me you believe in Santa Claus?
What's a girl to think when islands are filled with reported sightings of a Hawaiian-sized howley around this time of year? Ho-ho-hoing.
I haven't heard anything. Must be just a tourist.
But no one sees how he gets here. We know he don't come by steamship. He'd just show up, soak up some sunshine, surf a little, and disappear before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, never heard of him. He's got to be a tourist.
Tourist or not, I'd love to get an interview with him. Maybe you could put Changapana on him.
But now that's an idea. That'd keep him out of trouble. Chasing a will-o'-the-wisp. Just the thing. Thanks, Emily.
And if he catch him, I get one interview,
yeah,
eh?
We'll have to see. No promises.
At the old plantation, home of Victoria Ward and Lucy, one of her 6 daughters, a very wet Changapana is drying out.
I've sent for some lemonade, Chang.
Oh, thanks, Miss Lucy.
What in the world were you doing swimming in your clothes? And very odd clothes to see on you, I might add.
I was on docks as Kanapun, look for smuggling.
And it got too hot, so you fell in?
Not true.
Well, what were you doing? You can tell me.
Police stuff.
Chang, as an officer of the Humane Society, I'm also the police. You know that.
Kaden, someone taking Maru dock. Big Eddie's boat.
Big Eddie owns a ship? I didn't know that. You have something against him?
Throw me out window 2 times.
Or are you going to hold a grudge about that?
Maybe so. As Kanapun got hired to unload Tikimaru.
Oh, not a bad business, shipping.
Smuggling if it don't pay dues.
You find anything on board?
Crates and crates of toys. No custom tags. Smuggling.
Well, that doesn't tell me why you got wet.
Got seen snooping in the hold. Two crew throw me overboard.
Twice?
Once only. Not a thing. Got big wood canoe and crate. No custom stickers. Fancy, expensive, carved all over. Then got thrown overboard.
Well, I'm glad you came here. No sense getting your wife upset.
Wife only upset if lose at mahjong. I need to see you, Lucy.
Oh, if only you weren't married.
No make difference. Well,
I like to watch you and hear your chuckle.
Could do more.
Oh, my family would object. They only see a pake, while I see a man.
Won't be more than friends.
You hold my heart always.
That's not enough, but it's better.
The Secretary of the Humane Society of Hawaii, Florence Marguerite Gurry, is having an afternoon tea with one of her closest friends, Helen Keenow Wilder.
Helen, I suppose we have to ride in this travesty of a Christmas parade.
The Humane Society should have a presence there.
I know. We could show off a few of those broken-down dray horses from Manoa Quarry. Parade them right down the street with fancy bows on.
We wouldn't be allowed to do that. I'm afraid it would outrage people against the Humane Society.
What, making a purse out of a sow's ear?
Sometimes out of sight has advantages of being out of mind.
But it would really spice up the parade. All the haughty stares.
Slow. You sound bored with the parade.
I've ridden in it for years. It's just disgusting.
Disgusting?
It's basically the white oligarchy applauding themselves for taking Hawaii away from the Hawaiians.
White oligarchy? Those are the kinds of words they taught you at that school on the mainland?
You mean my conscience is showing?
You came back with blood in your eye and lobbied for the job of secretary.
Can't we do something to twist everyone's tails in this parade? Something different.
What about something comical? Clown?
How can you be comical when you're sitting on a horse?
Okay, you don't like that idea. Let's think about elegant.
Elegant like what?
Well, how about the group of us from the society dress up as pa'o riders? Each horse and rider could be dressed up as a different island.
You mean different colors for the pa'o? Are you sure the horses would be okay with all that fabric draped all over them? 9 yards of it?
Oh, we can drape the fabric over the saddle and have half of it on either side of the horse. The ancient Hawaiians used them to cover the women's lower parts for decency.
Since women didn't ride side saddle back then, you mean?
Yes. If we do it just right, the horses won't mind.
Pooling around the horse's feet, getting walked on and tripped on with each step.
You're telling me that your horse isn't trained enough to handle it? I always thought you were a better rider than that.
There isn't a horse on this island I can't ride.
And we could have huge leis made of flowers around their necks. Oh, that would look so grand.
That might brighten things up, Helen. But I don't see that it's going to liven them up. I want to twist some tail.
What do you want us to do? Bring in Santa Claus?
Santa Claus? Santa Claus. Santa Claus, I like it.
You do? Florence, I was just joking.
No, think about it. It'll poke a big hole in everyone's high and mighty parade. We'll be laughing at our betters. And they won't be able to say anything about it. They can't throw rocks at Santa Claus. It's their heritage.
We'd be the laughing stock of Honolulu.
At least if they're laughing at us, they'll give Queen Liliuokalani a rest.
Speaking about the Queen, do you want me to let Lucy know?
No, I'll do it, but not today. Don't let her hear you calling her that.
Oh, I was just joking. What's happening today?
On Mondays, the real Queen has luncheon with Victoria Ward and the family. Lucy will be involved with that. I don't speak good enough Hawaiian to attend.
Oh, surely they speak English.
Not since Queen Liliuokalani was deposed by her friends. Ever since then, Mrs. Ward insists on only speaking Hawaiian, particularly when the Queen visits.
Maybe having Santa in the parade will do something else, Florence.
Like what?
What kid, white, brown, yellow, or black, can resist Santa Claus? Could we turn the parade into something that everyone living in the islands will enjoy watching?
You mean subvert it from being a parade about Howleys patting themselves on the back?
If we talked about Santa being in the parade, I'll bet every kid in town will be on the parade route just to see.
The good old boys will hate it, having all those kids underfoot and their constant noise. Helen, I love it.
To get it in the papers and encourage everyone to come, we could claim sightings of Santa all over the island. Plant pieces in the newspaper.
But, Helen, do you have someone in mind, or are you just talking through your hat?
God will provide, I'm sure of it. But to be on the safe side, we need to get Lucy involved. That girl gets the most amazing things done.
She should. She takes lessons.
Out at the Wilder Ranch several days later, Helen and Lucy Ward, longtime friends and rebellious to the hilt, plot their next thrust.
Helen, it's working. It's really working.
Do you really think we'll get away with this?
Of course. Oh, that must be Big Eddie and Mokey.
Big Eddie? The gangster? You invited him here? Lucy, how could you?
No one will know. Who would suspect that Big Eddie was in cahoots with one of the island's wilders?
I certainly wouldn't.
You want to see me, ma'am?
Yes, she did.
Thanks for coming, Mr. Eddie.
Call me Big Eddie. Everyone does.
Please, have a seat, sir.
You too, Moki. Please sit down.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Lucy and I have a proposition for you, sir.
Just kind of sudden, ladies. Customary for exchange of vows first.
Got you there, Helen. Oh, stop blushing. We're not suggesting that.
Too bad. What you got in mind?
It occurs to me that one reason you're such a target for the police is that you don't do anything to offset your well-known reputation. What if you did something that made people think highly of you?
I'd ruin my reputation? Ladies, that's all I got.
We've got something that might make you look good.
Really good. And cover your other activities at the same time.
You two wahine going to tell me my business? Okay, tell me more.
The Christmas parade's coming up. It's usually so staid and awful. All my relatives in their coaches, moseying along. But what if Santa Claus was in the parade?
Ladies, sorry, but I heard that Santa Claus myth. Besides, he lives somewhere north of North Beach. North Pole, maybe.
But he could come here on vacation, couldn't he? Be in the parade and then leave on his deliveries?
Silly have big howling in a red velvet suit with sleigh and reindeers. 80 degrees outside, yeah? And Kona wetter to boot.
On vacation, be in trunks and on surfboard. No red suit.
That's right. We could have him arrive by surfboard.
Where he carried the presents.
Presents?
If it can't be Santa, God have presents.
No one knows how he arrives. His reindeer could just drop him off.
No, by that.
Well, you've got that red canoe inside the Tiki Maru.
Miss Ward, how do you know that?
Oh, a little birdie. You do, don't you?
Yeah. Gotta haul back to New Zealand. That Kane would order it, no except.
All that carving. I bought one racing canoe, not Maori canoe needing 50 paddlers.
Smoky. No need to tell our business to these two wahine.
What if we bought it?
Lucy, with what?
We could use it in the parade for Santa and the presents.
No lightweight canoes, ladies, made from tree.
Perfect. We could have some beach boys carry it. They're all muscle.
Lucy, We don't have that kind of money for an authentic Maori canoe.
Let me contribute that. Since for good cause.
Yeah, your reputation.
Yeah, my reputation. Besides, I can take it back after.
Now, what are we going to do about a Santa Claus?
Plenty big Hawaiians.
That's true. But since Christmas is primarily a Northern European tradition, I think he should be a Howlin'. Lucy, you know anyone that's big enough to play the role?
It'd be better if he wasn't known. No, I don't.
The skipper of Tiki Maru might fit the bill.
He lads enough.
Who?
Skipper in my boat.
We've already started rumors about seeing Santa on the beach.
Ah, saw him the Star Bulletin. I thought Captain Larson was going to bust a gut.
Do you think he'd do it?
Oh, he'd do it. I see to it.
You'll get him to make a showing on the beach?
I bet he won't be able to say he not Santa Claus.
Could you donate some of those toys for him to give out in the parade?
How much you know about my business? Good work, kid in.
But only to the kids.
The ones who never get any.
I know ask Captain Larson to go down chimneys.
That wouldn't work in Hawaii. Think about it. People live in grass shacks without fireplaces.
Could come in through one window.
Yes, I agree.
Since he can't wear a red suit, what, then the shorts could be red.
And must wear lei. Oh, and straw hat.
People will be shocked just to see a white man in shorts.
Well, I'll get something made up for him.
You better be big.
I get measurements for you and send Moki with them.
In the meantime, we'll keep talking about him to everyone.
Our dog catcher today.
I sent him down to the docks.
Nothing doing today.
Perfect. He can't get into trouble.
It keeps me busy trying to keep him busy.
Make me mad. He no follow procedure but come up smelling like a lady.
One big bust. He had a one big bust. He could have been killed.
Yeah, how many times can he get thrown out before he lands wrong?
He got lucky, that's all.
Emily Ho wants me to put him on Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Sound like a great idea. Keep him out of everyone's hair.
We all work in this parade? I got plans, eh?
I want to see everyone there, keeping the peace.
Even dog catcher?
Especially him.
I know. Put him on the drunk patrol.
Drunk patrol?
Then maybe they can beat the crap out of him. I'd like to see that.
A week later, the girls have done a superb job getting people excited about the sightings of the famous person and his participation in the annual parade. But trouble is just around the bend when Chang spotted a familiar red canoe. The moon shone on a calm sea as the red canoe was slid through the waves and onto the Ala Moana beach.
Canoe from Tiki Maru. I don't see customs sticker.
Hey, you! Get away from that canoe!
Still illegal.
Get off my canoe, Chang!
Illegal. I am pound.
No, you don't. You sorry specimen of a Chinese. It's my canoe and I've got business to do.
I don't think so.
You're not taking my canoe.
You try.
You try come back in this canoe, I'll use my paddle on your head.
You under arrest.
Oh, arrest? For what? Get off my canoe.
Try hit me again and I grab that paddle and pull you in.
Hearing chink.
You under arrest. Assaulting police, smuggling, throw me off boat. We go police station.
You're making a big mistake, Chink. I'm Santa Claus, get it? Santa Claus! Santa Claus!
Several days later, Henry joined Lucy and Helen in the lush tropical garden at the Ward's Christmas party. It's the night before the big parade. But the group is far from jovial.
Helen, here comes Henry. Maybe he's got good news.
Henry, have you seen him?
Not a sign of him anywhere.
Oh, what are we going to do?
We've done such a good job getting people worked up about this. How are we going to say it was a hoax?
Psst, Miss Helen, Miss Lucy.
Who's there?
Big Eddie.
And Moki.
What in thunder are you doing here?
My mother will have you flayed if she finds you.
You Howleys no play fair. I go out on limb, loan you one expensive canoe, convince my captain that this happens.
What happens?
All your fault, Chillingsworth.
I didn't do anything.
That understatement of the year. Tell me another one, Howley.
I have to ask this, but I think I know the answer. Have you seen him, Big Eddie?
Oh, I expect this as a lark, not a cockroach him completely. He's my skipper. My business depends on him, and thanks to you, he gone.
Slow down. Breathe deep. Big Eddie, we've been looking for him high and low, for both Captain Larson and the canoe.
We're on an island, for heaven's sake. It's driving all of us nuts.
I find.
And the parade is tomorrow. Oh, we promised everything that we'd have Santa in the parade. We're really so...
I find.
Moki, did you just say what I wanted to hear?
I find.
Praise the Lord.
Well, where is he?
In jail.
Moki, why are you not?
Just find out a little while ago, boss.
Now, he can't be. I'd know.
You don't know nothing. Your own department.
Your partner put him there.
Chang?
Chang Apana? It always Chang Apana causing problems. This was good town. Then you guys hired that Pake.
Let me go get him. He's here on the grounds. I want to get to the bottom of this. I'll be right back.
Chang Apana here? Boss, we need gold.
I won't throw him out window this time. I wrap tree around
him. Now, sir, settle down. You don't know how bad this makes me feel.
And you'll be next.
Through here, Chang.
Lucy, not understand. Oh, Henley, Miss Helen. Big Eddie.
I big Eddie you all over a garden.
Now, just wait just a minute. We got to listen to what happened. Lucy, since it's been your idea all along, you start.
Well, not precisely. It was mostly Flo's. Chang, you know we've been working on the parade for tomorrow.
Oh.
We arranged to borrow a red canoe from Big Eddie.
Red canoe?
And hired the captain of Big Eddie's ship to portray Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Captain Larson looked like the Howley Santa Claus, and you pinched him.
He was smuggling. No duties on toys, no duties on canoe.
Those were gifts not for sale.
I watch all the time. Suspicious. When he chew me off canoe, I went get mad. Hauled his Okoli off to jail.
Didn't he tell you who he was?
Kept yelling Santa Claus at me. He don't look Portuguese, but what I know, all Howleys look alike.
Well, that does it for Captain Larson.
Pippa said Larson, but he kept yelling Santa Claus. Pippa no match.
But where's that confounded canoe?
I find canoe. Police impound yacht.
Oh, fine. Okay, this is what we're going to do.
I'd kill him first.
Yeah, I know you want to. In fact, we all want to, but we've got some work to do. Chang, I want you to go get that canoe and bring it to the parade area.
How I do that?
You better find a way. And I want it polished until it gleams. I want you to stay there and guard it with your life.
What day is left of it?
Huh.
Big Eddie, you and Moki go get those presents ready for the parade. They'll need to be packed into the canoe so they can be handed out during the parade.
My toys. I don't want
to. I don't want to either, but none of us has a choice tonight. And I'll get Captain Larson out of jail. Somehow. Chang, you owe me good. Malasadas aren't going to be enough this time.
Bring the captain to my house. Lucy and I'll get him spruced up and all ready.
Say goodbye to the party, everyone. We got to get Santa ready before dawn.
Henry, what you doing here? Thought you at party with big shots.
Oh, I was, until the rug was pulled out from underneath me.
Oh, your girlfriend not there?
How many times do I have to tell you that Emily Ho is not my girlfriend?
Uh-huh. What our dog catcher do now?
He arrested Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? He not know that not real person?
Oh, this one's real enough. And Big Eddie is very unhappy.
Big Eddie? He believes in Santa Claus?
And what's more, Moki says we got him.
Oh, wait. You pulling my leg. What you mean we got him?
Danny, don't tell me we don't have someone down in the cells. We better have someone down there.
Oh, we got someone. Just that Lolo guy.
The crazy guy? The what one, crazy guy?
The one that keeps screaming he's Santa Claus.
So, we do have him. I was so hoping that wasn't going to be true.
He really is? But I not know.
Now, if you don't want Big Eddie to make life even more difficult, we got to get him out of here and over to the Wilders.
Oh, so they believe he's Santa.
And we have to make the paperwork look good. He's going to ride in their blasted parade. Now, come on, get out the keys.
Big joke. Dog catcher, lock up Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. Come on, hurry it up. I got things to take care of tonight. What's left of it?
Denzel would miss Emily, I bet.
Oh, I wish. Big Eddie isn't that light on my feet.
Real Santa! Hooray! Oh,
you don't know how close that was.
Henry, you look awful. Just awful. Were you up all night partying?
Oh, just about. But I don't think I'd call it partying. But you know, looking at all those shining eyes, I think it was worth it.
And presents! My kai! Excellent, excellent! Henry, about that interview you promised me with the big man...
Oh, don't ask, Emily. As soon as the parade is over, Santa has to go off on his rounds. In fact, he can't wait to get out of this town. He's been here too long.
Rough time in Honolulu? What, he find gravel in his sand?
Unexpected, I think you could say.
Look at all those kids. This parade will never be the same again.
Ah, you like your parade now? Now that it stands for something better than your friends?
Not my friends, Helen. Betrayers of the Queen. Don't tar me with the same brush.
Oh, enough of that. Smile for the kids, you reprobate.
Lucy, I got this for you.
Oh, Chang, you shouldn't. You have kids to give presents for.
It apology for making you worry. Open, open.
Oh, Chang, they're breathtaking. So beautiful.
Jade beads have special meaning.
Will you be upset if I give you a present?
From you, it would be special.
Here. Open, open.
Oh, a warrior's carving.
For my warrior. Merry Christmas.
Meli kaliki maka, Lucy. Meli kaliki maka to everyone.
American Radio Theater has presented Changapana Midnight Clear, written, produced, and directed by Joy Jackson. You heard Al Tringali as Changapana with Greg Porter as Henry Chillingsworth, Joy Jackson as Emily Ho, Melinda Maines as Lucy Ward, Marge Lutton as Helen Keenow Wilder, Liz Roach as Florence Gurry, Pat McNally as Big Eddie, Michael Mokey O'Reilly as Mokey, Dan Schindler as Danny, and Kim Turner as Santa. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg. I'm Ken Lease, your announcer and the voice of Andy. Mahalo for listening and mele kalikimaka. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Now that you've heard what we did with Changapana Midnight Clear, let's listen to our very own Changapana, Al Tringali, doing a Hawaiian pigeon version of The Night Before Christmas.
The night before Christmas, and from here to Wailuku, no creature was stirring, not even one uku. The kekis went snuggled down safe in the beds, big dreams of tofuri went danced round their heads. And me with my primo and ma with a poi, we just settled down for a rap, when, oh boy, an awful big clatter come from the lanai. I think maybe coconuts went fall from the sky. I went jump up so fast, I knock over the chair. I went run to the window and to see what's there. All over the beach, the kind silver moonlight. On the sand and the sea, it's shining so bright. I can see all the things on the shore plenty clear. And I see something out there that's the one plenty queer. One tiny surfboard lying there on the ground, and eight tiny seahorses just swimming around. And a little old surfer so lively, so quick, I would think to myself, hey, brah, that's St. Nick. He was chubby and jolly, the kind roly-poly, and dressed all in fur from the chin to Okoli. He had one white beard and one little round belly that would shake when he laughed like Tutu's guava jelly. He wasted no time, brah. He went and put down the sack that was big as one mountain slung up on his back. He get plenty good things for all the cakey when he went pile them under the coconut tree. That no rhyme, no? He work and he work and he never pauhana till he put something there for all the ohana. He went give me one wing and one shaka and pow. The seahorses, they know it. Come time to go now. He went pick up the board and he run to the ocean. He went harness the team and he set them in motion. More faster than jet planes, the seahorses swarm. He went whistle and shout and he call them each one. Go Kimo, go Noni, get them Kipo and Lani, go Kona, go Pua, give them Kiki and Nani. To the crest of the wave, through the foam and the spray, they swimming like crazy, they flying away. Till I went see on the water out far. Was one twinkle of light like one dying out star. But I hear old Nick holler across the dark sea. Merry Christmas, the kind. Aloha Hawaii.
With apologies to Chris Carter and the cast and crew of The X-Files, the following came into ART's possession via the internet. It's too good to keep to ourselves. Here's a confection from American Radio Theater.
Liebert Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 11:51 p.m., December 24th.
We're too late. It's already been here.
Mulder, I hope you know what you're doing.
Look, Scully, just like the other homes, Douglas fir, truncated, mounted, transformed into a shrine, halls decked with boughs of holly.
You really think someone's been here?
Someone or something.
Mulder, over there. It's a fruitcake.
Don't touch it. Those things can be lethal.
It's okay. There's a note attached. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice.
It's judging them, Scully. It's making a list.
Who? What are you talking about?
Well, ancient mythology tells of an obese humanoid entity who could travel at great speed in a craft powered by antlered servants. Once a year near the winter solstice, this creature is said to descend from the heavens to reward its followers and punish disbelievers with jagged chunks of anthracite.
But that's legend, Mulder. A story told by parents to frighten children. Surely you don't believe it.
Something was here tonight, Scully. Check out the bite marks on this gingerbread man. Whoever tore through this plate of cookies was massive and in a hurry.
It left crumbs everywhere. And look, Mulder, this milk glass has been completely drained.
It gorged itself, Scully. It fed without remorse.
But why would they leave it milk and cookies?
Appeasement. Tonight is the eve, and nothing can stop its wilding.
But if this thing does exist, how did it get in? The doors and windows were locked. There's no sign of forced entry.
Unless I missed my guess, it came through the fireplace.
Wait a minute, Mulder. If you're saying some huge creature landed on the roof and came down this chimney, you're crazy. The flue is barely 6 inches wide. Nothing could get down there.
But what if it could alter its shape, move in all directions at once?
You mean like a bowl full of jelly?
Exactly, Scully. I never told anyone this, but when I was a child, my home was visited. I saw the creature. It had long white shanks of fur surrounding its ruddy misshapen head. Its bloated torso was red and white. I'll never forget the horror. I turned away, and when I looked back, it had somehow taken on the facial features of my father.
Impossible!
I know what I saw. And that night it read my mind. It brought me a Mr. Potato Head, Scully. It knew I wanted a Mr. Potato Head.
I'm sorry, Mulder, but you're asking me to disregard the laws of physics. You want me to believe in some supernatural being who soars across the skies and brings gifts to good little girls and boys. Listen to what you're saying. Do you understand the repercussions? If this gets out, they'll close the X-Files.
Scully, listen to me. It knows when you're sleeping. It knows when you're awake.
But we have no proof.
Last year, on this exact date, SETI radio telescopes detected bogies in the airspace over 27 states. The White House ordered condition red.
But that was a meteor shower.
Officially. 2 days ago, 8 prized Scandinavian reindeer vanished from the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. Nobody, not even the zookeeper, was told about it. The government doesn't want people to know about Project Kringle. They fear that if this thing is proved to exist, the public will stop spending half its annual income in a shopping frenzy. Retail markets will collapse. Scully, they cannot let the world believe this creature exists. There's too much at stake. They'll do whatever it takes to keep another silent knife.
Mulder.
Shh. Do you hear what I hear?
On the roof. It sounds like a clatter.
The truth is up there. Grab your flashlight. Let's see what's the matter.
Would you go up and see for yourself? Just be very careful. You've been listening to American Radio Theater presenting a Christmas confection based on the X-Files. In our cast, you heard Linda Rasmussen as Scully, Dan Schindler as Mulder. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. This was performed live at ART's Christmas Party 2012. I'm your anonymous announcer from the Witless Protection Program, and this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen in to some Christmas music and Christmas programming from the days of old-time radio.
Here's the last minute, and I still have a lot of Christmas shopping to do. How'll I get it done?
Why, that's a cinch, Carp. You get everybody on your list war bonds or stamps. Well, you can buy them almost anywhere, and they make a gift your friends will remember and our enemies can't forget.
Well, say, thanks, Dr. Crosby. That's swell. Now I'm all set. The Christmas bells can ring anytime they're ready.
Well, I imagine they're ready now.
Let's listen.
Yes. Craft music all carries on with Fay Bainter, Andrew Toombs, Jack Carson, Ken Carpenter, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the music maids of Hal, the charioteers, and as of now, Miss Janet Blair and friends.
You'd be so nice to come home to.
You'd be so nice by the fire.
While the breeze on high sang a lullaby, you'd be all that I could desire.
Under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above,
you'd be so.
Be so nice by the fire,
while the breeze on high sang a lullaby, you'd be all that I could desire.
Under stars chilled by the winter,
under an August burning above, you'd be so nice.
You'd be paradise to come home to.
At the North Pole tonight, our amiable old friend Santa Claus is hopping every which way, getting ready for his annual tour de force. Old St. Nick might be a little late coming down some of the chimneys over here, because he's got plenty of new stops this semester. All the war posts, wherever his boys and girls are stationed, Santa's going to hit them all if he has to make it in two jumps. But we thought we might catch the old character before he hitched up Dancer, Prancer, and Fellow Deer, and get some inside info on just what goes when Mr. and Mrs. Claus, and all the subjunctive clauses, prepare for the takeoff. If we can melt some of the icicles off the wires, we're going to switch right up there to the North Pole, where Santa Claus's children are helping him to get started. Take it away, North Pole!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Jingle, jingle,
all of you are jingle bells, jingle bells, on your way.
Oh, that's the spirit, children. A little flat, but so is everyone else just before Christmas. Now for a little rest before I start my arduous journey.
Santa Claus, will you stop dilly-dallying? It's getting late.
My dear Mrs. Claus, my beloved wife, at a time like this...
Yes, at a time like this. Do you realize it's almost midnight, and you haven't started yet?
Never missed a Christmas in my life, and I won't miss this one.
Well, you'd better not. All those people waiting for you, and you sitting smoking your pipe. For shame! Come now, children, help your father get started.
Yes, Mother dear.
Now get to work and pack your father's bag. I want it done before I get back.
Santa Claus is our papa.
Our mama done told us.
Hey, Pop, you want me to put some C-A-N-D-Y in the B-A-G?
Shh! You know your mother doesn't want me to smoke.
Father Claus, I did like you said and checked up on your team of reindeer.
That's good. Are all my reindeer in good order?
Well, all except Blitzen. He's a little on the fritzen.
Blitzen ate up his racing book and we had to scratch him.
Well, you'd think an animal that size could scratch himself.
Hey, Pop, are you going to see Betty Grable again this year?
Why, of course, son. I plan to spend quite a little... I always try to fill Betty's stockings.
I like the way she fills them better.
Smart boy.
I get around, don't I? Pappy Claus, are you all going to see Hedy Lamarr, too?
Why, certainly, Jonikins. Why, I... I remember last year I left a present for Hedy and she kissed me. Son, was my beard singed.
Santa Claus, are you still here?
My dear Mrs. Claus, haven't you known me long enough to call me by my saint nickname?
Well, get a jingle, Kringle. Hurry up, and I do mean you. Millions of children are waiting, and here you are, dilly-dallying like an old fuss budget. Now, here's your sky map, and be sure not to leave anyone out.
Don't tell me what to do, Mrs. Claus. I'll run this business. This isn't my first trip.
Well, remember, all you do is deliver. It's us women who pick out the merchandise.
Okay. I'll see all the youngsters and stop at all the battle stations. I know what to do.
And be careful in those chimneys. You always come home with a soot suit and a smeared beard.
Well, I'll be careful, and on my way home, I'll stop at a hotel for a little rest.
Where are you going to stop, Pop?
Same place I always stay. I get a nice room there for a special rate. $2 for room and beer.
Say, Father Claus, isn't that something new this year, putting those sleigh bells on your fur cap?
Yep. Now I got furs that jingle, jangle, jingle.
Yes, but you always come back from those all-night trips with arctic circles under your eyes.
That woman will never stop nagging. Come on now, boys. It's time to hitch up the reindeer. But first, you better take my bag out to the sleigh. Now, let's see, where is it? Where's my bag? Oh, there it is, over on the sofa.
Hey, this is Hemi. Come on, Harry, help Toter.
Oh, I can't budge her. What do you got in here, Pop?
I'm in here, and you all let me down.
Every year, that Jonikins tries to stow away.
Come on, Pop. I got the reindeer all set.
Well, that's good. Goodbye. I mean, good boy. Good boy. Well, now, good boy, everybody. I mean, goodbye, everybody. Good boy, Mrs. Claus. Be a good boy. Be a good wife till I return.
Well, goodbye, Nick. Here's an extra set of flannel underwear to wear. Many things are frozen in the United States, you know.
How do you know?
Well, I heard it on a newscast by Gabriel Refrigerator. That's his name.
Well, they'll never freeze Santa Claus. They wouldn't do that. Why, they wouldn't dare. Why, if it weren't for all I stand for...
Better hurry, Pop. The reindeer are getting restless.
All right, all right. Don't rush me. Here I go. Giddy up. Giddy up, you reindeer.
Aren't you going with the reindeer, Pop?
How many times have I told you, Harry, you're supposed to hitch the reindeer to the sleigh?
Every year, new rules with the reindeer.
I'll get those deer back here. Go get them. Get them quick. Hurry up.
I'll hitch him up good this time, Pop. There you are.
That's fine. That's fine, son. Well, goodbye, all. Goodbye.
Oh, he made a swell takeoff. He's passing the Big Dipper. There he goes by the Milky Way. Whoop, whoop, whoop. What's that? Oh, a motorcycle cop is after Pop. He stopped him.
Hey, you. What are you doing all dressed up in a red suit flying around the sky? Pull over to that clown. Who do you think you are, Superman?
I'm Santa Claus.
Oh, a wise guy.
Honest, I'm Santa Claus. Don't you see? I've got all these presents to deliver tonight. I'm going all over the world and stop wherever they'll let me land. And if I don't make it, it won't be Christmas. And when Christmas is lost,
the speeches. Why didn't you say who you were? Come on, I'll clear the way for you. Let's go.
All right, come on. Giddy up. Come on. Prancer, Dancer, Donder, Cupid, Comet. Merry Christmas, everybody!
You know, that's the first Santa Claus I ever saw who looked exactly like Andrew Toombs. Some of them looked a little like Andrew Toombs, but this one looked enough like Toombs to be Toombs himself. Well, that's how it is. Going back a little way now, here's one that we've had a lot of requests for from a lot of men in a lot of places.
Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 with your haircut just as short as mine. Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 you're sure looking fine. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the shaved tails don't get you, the top kicks must. Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 with your haircut just as short as, your haircut just as short as, your haircut just as short as mine.
Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 with your haircut just as short as mine. Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 you're surely looking fine. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, if the Louis don't get you, then the top kick must. Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 with your haircut just as short as, your haircut just as short as, your haircut just as short as mine.
Guardhouse don't get you,
KP must.
Good morning, Mr. Zip, 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 with your haircut just as short as, your haircut just as short as. Say, son, who cut your hair?
Just a few days ago, everybody here in the Old Kraft Music Hall received a letter from our friend and advisor, J.L. Kraft. Now, it's not the usual sort of a Christmas letter from employer to employee. J.L.'s never are. It's certainly not front office stuff. It's the kind of a letter a man likes to read and reread. It starts, "To my friends," which means it really as much to you Kraft Music Hall listeners as it is to us. So I ask Ken to read you his copy.
"To my friends. Each weekday morning as I walk into the Chicago office, the first sight which greets my eyes is our great service flag, a flag whose stars are ever growing in number. More than 800 blue stars are there emblazoned against a white field in this December of 1942, and almost every morning there are a few more added to the luster of the flag. On Sunday mornings, when I go into my home church, I'm greeted by another service flag with more than 200 represented there. Walking along the city streets, wherever I go, I see more and more windows lighted with a glory that was never there before. As I see the service flags, which mean so much to us personally, I'm reminded that the meaning of each star is twofold. Each service flag in a window means not alone that there's a member absent from that family circle, but it's a symbol that the enduring light of home still shines for him, and that it shall not be extinguished, that it is for his home and the multitude of homes which make up the United States of America that he fights around the globe today. This Christmas time, when we turn our thoughts and hearts to our boys so far away, and when their thoughts are warm and strong enough to reach around the earth and back to us, the light of this sacred birthday is a lamp unto our feet, bringing us all home in thought, in love, in faith, in rekindled devotion. The stars in our service flags take their light from a holy star, that one which led the wise men of old. May the abiding glory of Christmas time be upon you and upon yours, wherever they may be. May it be our constant prayer that before another Christmas dawn shall break, the everlasting light may have overcome the darkness of the earth. Sincerely, J.L. Kraft."
Thank you, J.L., for a thought that we'll try to keep with us, and a hope that I know we all share. Here now is Janet Blair in a nice new melody with what is certainly a universal thought.
He's not so handsome, he's not very tall, and in the smart set, he's nothing at all. He was the first one to answer the call, that soldier of mine. He's just a private, just one of the crowd. He's got that something that makes me so proud. You keep old glory as high as a cloud, that soldier of mine. I wish he knew how much I've been missing him. Every single day we're apart, but I still have the memory of kissing him the day he marched away with my heart. There at the station I tried not to cry. I kept on smiling while waving goodbye. I know he'll come back, my wonderful guy, that soldier of mine. And I'll be waiting.
Way back. 1618, the 30-year war starts in Germany, and Sir Walter Raleigh loses his head over Arabella Stuart. 1618, William Shakespeare is 2 years in his grave, and many a man is heard saying to his wife,
"How now, my gentle Janet? Wouldst while away an idle hour this evening in the courtyard of the tavern, where the strolling mummers make their mimicry?"
Is not this night the night they do William Shakespeare revival, Romeo and Juliet?
Romeo and Juliet. Fair. A pox on these double features.
Have you perchance heard the new melody that's drifted across the channel from Switzerland?
Oh, it hath a haunting quality. How goes the lyric?
The words are yours for the writing.
Well, quickly, my quill, my sand, and my parchment.
Time lurches on. 1776, the Declaration of Independence is signed, and the United States is born as a nation. 1776, and in many a continental home on Christmas morning, thinking men can be heard to say,
"Well, it's been 6 months since they signed the Declaration of Independence."
Yes, but I can't remember. Where did they sign it?
Right at the bottom.
How is Washington doing?
'Tis looking better for us, Janet, lass. I have it direct from ye town crier that Washington hath crossed the Delaware this day and won a great victory at McConkie's Ferry.
'Tis well, but 'tis a pity they must fight on Christmas Day.
Oh, tell me, pretty, what that tune, what words go with it?
Ah, 'tis a tune my mother brought with her from England. The words, my lord, are yours for the writing.
Hum softly, and I'll see what can be devised.
Time staggers on. 1847, the first adhesive postage stamp comes into use in these United States, and druggists start praying for stamp vending machines. 1847, and in many an American home on Christmas Eve may be heard,
"A good King Wenceslas slipped out on the field of Stephen, where the snow lay around and about and deep and crisp and even."
Have you heard that new carol that Dinah Maria Muller Craik wrote the words to?
How's it go? Oh, that one. Oh, to be sure. "God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort, joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy." Nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
That's all I've got time for today. Happy holidays from all of us at American Radio Theater.